If you hadn't heard by now, the mystery of Matt Khalil has grown again. Reports are from practice today. Matt Khalil was on a bike on the side, did not practice. I think Wade and I were doing some math in the break, and I believe it's been almost a week since your veteran left tackle that the Texans brought in.
Starting left tackle. He made it clear after the game.
Right. Hey, put some respect on his name.
Starting left tackle.
You know, so you bring him in, and you know he's going to be the starting left tackle. He's going to be, I guess, a veteran that this young group can look up to. And, guys, I hadn't talked to y'all since, so I'm going to go way back, and we'll set the table for the listeners, I guess. But the second joint practice, which was, what would that be, Thursday? Last Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, the second joint practice versus the Lions, I walk in probably 10 minutes late, and I'm watching a little one-on-one on this. I'm watching Detroit. I always like to watch the other team first because we never get to see them practice. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to keep my eyeballs on them, and I come across when they join, and I'm looking at the offensive line that's on the field, and there's no 75.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, where's he at? The off day's a veteran, so I'm looking around. There's no 75 on the field at all. So I got to ask you, before we even get into the game and the situation, the mystery that has grown to this level, what was y'all's take on a guy not even being at practice and getting the mental reps? I've never been around a coach that said, hey, you know what, screw these mental reps, man. Go on inside and get whatever treatment you need, or just have your veteran day off.
Well, I do know with the Texans what they'll do sometimes with a veteran guy is keep him inside and have him doing rehab workouts with Cap. And not Cap, because Cap will be on the field, but whoever the rehab
roll in
or somebody like
it's
that.
It's Cholo, by the way. That's my boy Cholo, by the way. He was a trainer of the Cats way back in my day.
Oh, nice.
Way back in my arena ball days.
Okay.
Oh, that's dope. That's
me
dope.
And Cholo used to run the streets in Nashville together, baby.
Shout out to Roland Ramirez. That's my guy.
Good dude.
One of my neighbors over there.
He a listener,
in
too.
In the Mo City. Yes, sir. So, but yeah, they'll do that. So that's commonplace for a veteran guy to be held inside and not be out there in practice.
Well, let me put it to you like this, Wade. If you were in his shoes, you know the whole situation. You know the veteran coming in, having been injured, hasn't played up to his expectations, even though his expectations were probably unrealistic and unfair just because he was drafted so high. But if you, Wade Smith, if you're in his shoes, what are you doing at that point in time?
Well, honestly, I kind of was in his shoes because when I signed here, I signed a four-year contract. I was a free agent pickup, and people expected me to be a starter on the line on a already established group, but I was the veteran in the room, per se. I was the oldest guy on the roster, and me missing practices and missing times was the last thing that I was going to be trying to do, because I wanted to earn the respect of everybody in the room, because, you know, what you see on film before you got there is great, and what you put out there, that's great.
Yeah.
But what are you doing here with us
right now?
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so you gotta earn those pelts on the wall to where when you have your voice in the room, you can utilize it and people will listen. It's very difficult to listen to somebody that's not out there doing the things
right
with you,
is.
That's not in the mud with you. It's just very difficult to do. And you know, you can kind of sugarcoat it how you want to, but if you're going to be the starter and you don't have those pelts on the wall yet, it's very difficult to gain that respect. It's not like a guy like, you know, J.J. Watt or Whitney Merciless or DeAndre Hopkins, where there are proven guys in this organization. You know that these are prime time, big time players, and you can always count on them. You know, he hasn't established that here yet. And so it's very concerning to me that he has missed this many days of practice.
Wait, I'll say that to me, it would be more important if I were in his shoes to be out there when I was not practicing or wasn't able to practice, so that I could then really focus on helping whoever my backup was.
Absolutely.
Or whoever the other offense. So it's really dialing, and I want them to sense and feel that I'm genuine and sincere, and I'm out here trying to help you and help this team get better. That's just the kind of player that I was. Maybe I was in that backup role a lot, and hell, I got used to it. But but that's just, I mean, I just couldn't. I still to this day, I can't wrap my head around. I could rep, JJ and Hop, and even when you came in, that's a whole different deal. We're talking about a guy that's been injured forever and has, at the end of the day, his demons are fighting, I think, perception,
yes,
right, of what he's not been able to do. You can hear it in his voice when he's talking a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, but Cecil, back to you. Have you ever been around a situation like that where guys – just were nowhere to be found at practice, and it was just how the organization functioned?
No. So for me, I've definitely been around guys that have veteran days off, right? I think that's universal. Mm-hmm. Guys that are respected, guys that have earned and proven that they can still prepare for the game or prepare for the season, they'll give them days off because their body's been through so much and whatnot, or they battled back through an injury. But for me, what's kind of interesting is he really hasn't proven himself yet to be that dependable yet. Yeah. You don't got to be a superstar, but you got to be dependable that we trust you to be ready for the season. And he's been battling injury after injury after injury throughout his whole career. So that, to me, that's just interesting. And you made a good point. I was the same way. So, and I battled through my fair share of injuries. So, but if any time I didn't practice, I was on the field talking to younger receivers. I had my play sheet in hand. I knew exactly what was coming. They'll come to me and like, listen, make sure on this route you're going A, B, and C. Let's looking out for them. That shows leadership. That shows that I care.
Coaches love it. The players love it.
That way, I'm still earning my respect. Like, hey, he knows his stuff. So when he comes back out there, boom, we know he's the starter or he's that guy.
Well, how much stock do you put in this? Okay, the trainers are telling you, we want you to be inside in this program. We want you to do this particular program. You internally to yourself, you might say to yourself, I want to be out there with my guys. Mm-hmm. But if you're listening to the trainers, is there something to be said for that? Like, listen, he's just going by what the people that are in the decision makers in the organization, he's going by what they're telling him.
Not for me.
It's ways to go around it, though. So what you can do, and what I used to do when I got hurt a couple of times here in Houston, because I was on the exact same program, rolling, keep you inside, I will come early. So I'll come earlier on, get my program out the way. So I'm sitting in meetings. After meetings, I might have to do a little more with Roland, and then I'm able to go out at least half the practice or at least some of the practice to be able to see what's going on and be able to be there for the younger guys. My second year there, we drafted Will Fuller. We drafted Braxton Miller. We had Keith Mumphrey coming back. We had Jalen Strong, all younger guys. And me, I was the oldest in the room. So it was me, and then it was Hopkins. So I was 28. Hopkins was 24. You see what I'm saying? So I had to be there for those guys, even though I ultimately didn't end up making that team. I gave them everything I had, not only when I played, but from the outside in as far as, you know, knowledge.
Well, check it out. So before we move on to the next step of this mystery right here, I want you guys to listen to this bit of audio, which I know everybody out there has heard. I know y'all have heard, but y'all had some great takes in show prep today, and I just want to get that out there. B-Mac, hit that audio real quick.
Proven to myself that I can do it. You know, all the stuff I've been through as far as injuries and struggling at some points with that. But, you know, I think I'm to the point where I'm feeling really good and getting my confidence back. So, you know, it's a battle every day with the guy in the mirror. So that's what it comes down to.
And that's Matt Khalil, your starting left tackle, after the last time he did practice, which was Wednesday last week. And I've heard that audio used quite a bit, guys, and it was used more in a sense of this is a guy that appears to be healthy. He appears to be talking about coming back. And when I mentioned it to you guys, both of y'all had a little different take. So, Cecil, hit me with what your take is on that audio, which was Matt Khalil after last Wednesday's practice.
He's mentally out of it. Like, he does not trust himself at all. Like, he doesn't trust himself, and I get it. We all have injuries, right? We all play football for a long time. We all battle with injuries. But for him, and his, I guess it's been so long since he's battled with numerous stuff, he doesn't trust himself.
Yeah,
doesn't trust himself physically.
And he's even talked about that.
He doesn't trust himself mentally. Like he's supposed to be working your technique in practice and you know getting the pass set. He might be getting the pass set thinking, okay, my knee feels good or my elbow or whatever's bothering me. Okay, boom. All right, I can do this. So he's slowly getting confidence back. Then guess what? Boom, an injury happened. He can lose all of his confidence.
Yeah.
So right now, because he said that before when he was healthy, now he's injured. Who knows where his mind is right now? And I can't have that when you got Cameron Jordan week one coming dead at Deshaun Watson, or week two when you go against Josh Allen.
What I hear him saying, Wade, is it's a guy trying to talk himself into being healthy and being confident.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it like this, when you're an NFL player and you're a top of the line, you're playing in a top priority position of the left tackle position, you can't be fighting with yourself to figure out if you can do it or not. You're trying to figure out the game within the game and the nuances to beat your opponent. And if you're focused too much on yourself, how are you focusing on the guy that you have to get blocked? How are you focusing on the things that you need to do to communicate with the guy next to you? When he made that statement that he's basically fighting against the man in the mirror, that made me think to myself, like, man, I don't know if he's all the way in it. Like, is he thinking about retiring? Like, is he trying to figure out, can I still do this? Because he strikes me as a guy that has always been talented and always had success, and because he can't physically do the things that he feels like he's capable of doing, that's tough mentally to deal with. Sometimes your body just lets you down.
Yeah.
And at some point in your career, that's always going to happen. If you play long enough, eventually your body's going to let you down. And it sounded like to me a guy that was going through that, like trying to that realization, like maybe I can't physically do the things that I know that I should be able to do.